Morning, brothers and sisters. I thank and praise the Lord Jesus Christ for giving me this opportunity to share and have fellowship with you. May all the glory to our Lord and our God and to Him alone. I was born in a Christian family. I learned many things about God, about the Bible, about our Lord Jesus at home and in Sunday school. I also knew that I am a sinner, and sinner can't go to heaven. Yes, I know I'm a sinner, but never felt convicted of my sin until when I was 10 years old. When I was pricked by a rusty scissors, I was so afraid because during that time, I heard a story about somebody who died when he was pierced by a rusty nail. He died the next day because of tetanus. I don't know how accurate the story I heard, but the Lord works wonderfully. That incident made me afraid to face death, knowing that death to me means going to hell. Because I know that I am a sinner, I lied, I stole. That time, I was convicted of my sin and started to call on the Lord Jesus, knowing from the Sunday school that He can save us from eternal lake of fire. During that time, there was a series of gospel meeting and baptism. My brother was about to be baptized, so at home, baptism are spoken. I can't remember if my mother asked me if I would like to be baptized, but deep within me, I know that I need the salvation. I need the Lord. And so I wanted to be baptized at the time. Many doubted because I was too young then, just about 10. But they interviewed me anyway, and so I was baptized. After I was baptized, I really followed the Lord with simple heart, with innocent heart. As a young boy, so I'm so innocent. Whatever I heard from the church, from the message in the church or at home, I follow. So my mother encouraged me to consecrate myself, and I did consecrate myself to the Lord. I also attended almost all the church meeting, including prayer meeting. I read my Bible every day, and though I admit some of the words I don't know even how to read it, but I thank the Lord. The Lord keeps me. I testify for the Lord and pray a lot. I pray for my needs, and most often I pray for my wants. I had this wrong concept of prayer. My concept was we pray only to ask what we need and want. And of course, God is gracious, loving, almighty, and faithful. So He should fulfill my prayer. My concept of prayer was like wishing from a genie, and that the Lord may say, "Your wish is my command." So many of my prayers were answered, but most were not. Then I began to doubt God's faithfulness. Isn't it in the Bible, our Lord Jesus said, "Whatever ye ask in my name, I will do it." So I began to drift away from our Lord. I stopped reading my Bible. I lessened my attendance of church meetings, less prayer. This went on about 6 years. Though in a way I have forsaken the Lord, yet He did not give up on me. He provided a mother that would force us, me and my brother, and sometimes even bribe us to attend church meeting. That we just don't give up assembling together. And so, for the sake of the benefits, I only joined the Saturday Youth Fellowship and Sunday services. During those times, the Lord had been knocking at the door of my heart, but I just ignored it. The Lord disciplined me and brought various illness to me. There was one would have cost my life, and another was just an allergy, where every time I woke up, I sneeze, and my nose just flowing. It only stops after I take a bath and see some sunlight. After more than a year, that evil brought another evil. My allergy developed into severe sinusitis. I don't know why my doctor required me to see him every day for a week or two in a month for medication and injection. That gave me temporary relief. But this didn't humble me at all. I went on loving the world. Yet the Lord was so patient with me. He brought me to Manila for my university, together with my allergy and sinusitis that would remind me of Him. There the Lord uses His unfailing love to bring me back to Him again. But before that happened, I knew I have troublesome life ahead when I move to Manila having this sickness. It will be irritating, annoying morning every day. Then I began to worry about it. And I thank the Lord. The Lord started to work in me. Though this was not my spiritual turning point, yet the Lord started to work in me. Then I began to worry about it. On a night when I was about to go to bed, a small voice came back. The Lord started to work in me. On a night when I was about to go to bed, this small voice urged me to be humble before Him, ask for forgiveness and prayer, and pray sincerely to the Lord for healing. And without a doubt, I asked for forgiveness and prayer and prayed for healing that night with expectation. Amazingly, the following morning I woke up. From that time on until today, I don't sneeze due to allergy anymore. I was completely healed. Now, was it my faith? Or was it miracle? I dare not to say no. But I would say it is God's faithfulness. At that time, it was a miraculous experience to me. But looking back, I realized it was God's faithfulness. What He says, He will surely do. He had said in chapter 14, verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Praying in the name of our Lord Jesus is praying according to His will, according to His command. In so doing, we are given the authority to ask, and we are given the right to obtain it. We did not just merely name dropping by saying Jesus, in Jesus' name we pray, but we indeed received authority from our Lord Jesus to ask, and His right to obtain it. I obtained healing because the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, moved me to pray for healing, and that not because I deserve it, but because our Lord Jesus has His own purpose to accomplish. This was my experience about praying in Jesus' name. So the Lord led me on after my university. I worked in my aunt's company in Manila for a few months and went back home to Iloilo City. I worked a few months in my uncle's bakery, then started my own company. Married and have children. Life was good, but stressful. And during those stressful times, I began to have gastro problem and hemorrhoid. That every time I relieved myself, I would bleed at least 20 cc of blood. I consulted the doctor, and as usual, he prescribed some temporary relief. One day in James, the Lord showed me a way, saying, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And so I obeyed. In our church, none of us there has a gift of healing. But I can see that the Lord is faithful. So during a prayer meeting, I went and asked for to be prayed over. So when I went home, the Lord moved me to do one thing. It's just awkward to say here. As a result, when I relieved myself that night, it stopped to bleed up to now. It have been 6 years since that night. Amazing. Again, it is God's faithfulness. His glory displayed in His body. To think none of the responsible brothers who laid hands on me has the gift of healing. But God, through His church, showed His glory. In Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, says, "And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the key of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." I was bounded of that sickness, but I thank the Lord loosed me. The Lord gave me healing. The Lord has given His church His authority in prayer, that whatever we bind on earth shall be bind in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I shared my testimony, not to say that we pursue miracles, but to say our Lord is worthy. We must pursue Christ and His kingdom. And in so doing, miracles happen. We are in 21st century. We don't think miracles happen. But as we follow the Lord, as we pursue the Lord and His kingdom, we can see and we can experience miracles in our lives. I have lots of illness, sickness, but these two would seem fit, because I say it's not due to psychological effect, but it's real illness. Some illness may cause by just you think about it. You feel you have sickness, but in fact it's not. But these two sickness, I can see the blood. I can feel the running nose. But I thank the Lord. The Lord just do wondrous things. When I prepared this, I just felt that the Lord is so wonderful. He reminds me of how He saved me. Though I was too young then, but the Lord arranged everything for me so that I may know Him, so that I may grab the opportunity to be saved. The Lord was knocking then and still knocking at the door of my heart. And the Lord is saving until now. I would love to share a lot of my testimony, but I would rather keep it for now. The Lord just wants me to encourage each one of us that we seek the Lord. We seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. Just encourage every one of us that we pray together in His body. We give importance to the prayer meeting. We give importance to prayer. The Lord gave His authority to His church for prayer. And so, we should respond to it. Prayer can move mountains, not by our little faith, but because the Lord is faithful. So let us pray together as His body, His church, and see God's glory revealed. Glory be to our God and our Lord Jesus.
Morning, brothers and sisters. I have to say it was quite a struggle when I was asked to share, because I know that it's always a struggle the week before, just trying to prepare, and especially next week is the WCCC, and I usually want to ask for a week of vacation. My superiors would always get me to work quite a bit just before I take off my vacation. And also especially difficult this time is that our elderly brother Kong was here just the past 2 weekends, and it almost seems like what is there left for me to say or where is there for me to share. And then at the same time, I mean, we're just still digesting those 4 messages. And funny thing is, this week I actually I felt indigestion, like physically. It wasn't just spiritual indigestion. It was physical indigestion. And I was like, so that was quite the experience. I rarely get heartburn or indigestion. Maybe it's my nerves. Maybe it's just. I don't know. Could be other things. But thank God that He is faithful, and even though I lack faith, that even though I am faithless, His grace towards me can be quantified from the fact that it is not my own strength that I can share, but it is purely through His strength. So in the 4 messages that our brother Colin shared, he covered the 4-fold relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to review everything, but I'll just, I guess, talk about the little overview. The first 3 messages were focused on our own individual personal relationship with Jesus as Redeemer and the redeemed, as Master and disciple, and Master and bondman. And each message progressively spoke of a closer and closer relationship with God. And the final message focused on the relationship of head and the body, where on our part as a body, we have a corporate relationship with our other brothers and sisters under the headship of Christ. So after listening to the messages, naturally I began to reflect on my relationship with Christ, to check on the things that my head agreed with when I listened to the words that were spoken. And as I was going through that intellectually, I began to see just how immature my heart was, that there's so much more growing that I needed to do. I didn't want to admit it. I struggled to admit that, purely because of my pride. But at the same time, I knew that I couldn't run away. I couldn't run away from God or to hide from the truth. It wasn't the first time that I had heard these messages about our relationship with Christ, but it seemed that God wasn't going to let me go this time. And God wasn't going to let me run away. And God wasn't going to let me hide anymore. The branch cannot do without the vine, and the vine cannot do without the branches. I know that we've heard many messages on abiding in Christ, and I even have a book that my friend gave me. It's by Andrew Murray, Abiding Christ. And it speaks of, there's a chapter in there, it speaks of this closeness that the branch receives life and its fruitfulness from the vine. And at the same time, the vine cannot, or the vine without branches cannot bear any fruit. He explains it in this way. A vine without branches can bear no fruit. No less indispensable than the vine to the branch is the branch to the vine. Such is the wonderful condescension of the grace of Jesus that just as his people are dependent on him, he has made himself dependent on them. However, we shouldn't see this as, you know, we shouldn't have this attitude of arrogance towards Christ to believe that we are only indispensable. It is God, our Creator, who has made himself this way to include us in his kingdom and his purpose. So it's in knowing this that God came down to the world and he became a man to sympathize with all our weaknesses and to bring upon us this great plan for our salvation to redeem us, that we would want to follow him, that we would want our ears to be pierced so that we can be a bondslave to Christ forever. And this is the right response. This is what brings glory to God the Father. As you all know, that as fallen creatures, our Christian experience may not be ideal or may not be, or can be very far from this. We go through life and maybe we go through negative or unfavorable situations. We make mistakes. We become ashamed. We grow tired. We get weak. And maybe sometimes we get frustrated. And then we give up and we blame God. We run away from God and we try to hide. We fill up our life with work, with school, with hobbies because we are stubborn and don't want to face up to the issues that in the first place made us grow tired and weary. And this vicious cycle keeps going and going and tires ourselves and so that we don't have to deal with, to put it bluntly, our relationship with God. But thank God that even though this has become my experience this past year, that he will never let me go. That even though I may try to run away, he will go searching for me. Just like the sheep that was lost, Jesus, the great shepherd, would leave the flocks just to find me. That even though I may try to hide, he will come find me wherever I am. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 7 to 10, it speaks of the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden by eating fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were open and they realized they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then they heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But God called to Adam, "Where are you?" Adam answered and said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Even from that point, we can see that hiding comes naturally to us. Nobody needs to teach us how to hide. We may not be very good at hiding, but I think we all know that because of our fallenness, that hiding has become a part of our lives. Our eyes were open to our nakedness, and we wanted to hide it by covering it up. So when Adam and Eve heard God walking in the garden, they decided to hide among the trees of the garden. And likewise, when we sin, we naturally hide. We lie to cover it up. And God called to Adam, "Where are you?" I mean, it's God we're talking about. It's God that asked this question, "Where are you?" If we truly believe that God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, this becomes a rhetorical question. Did God really not know where they were hiding? Does God really not know where we are? God knows us better than we do ourselves. He knows the thoughts in our head even before we think them. And as I was thinking about this and thinking about the copious amounts of hiding that I do in my life, I was reminded of Psalm 139. You can turn that to Psalm 139. I know we're quite familiar with this chapter. We'll read from verse 1 to 12. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." So although we may know this in our head, that God knows everything there is to know about us, we still expend enormous amounts of energy to hide from him. Worse yet, we may even accept the fact that he knows, and we just carry on with our lives and try to hide it from other people. The more we practice this, the more we get desensitized to it. And this leads us down the path of hypocrisy. And we all know what God's stance is on hypocrisy. But I thank God that he gives us his Holy Spirit to remind us, "Where are you?" And that God is searching for us and wants us to return to him. He wants us to not just know it in our heads, but he wants us to know it in our hearts. God is asking us today, "Where are you?" Before the fall of man, God fellowshipped with Adam and Eve in the garden. After the fall, sin entered the world. Man was separated from God, and we could not know God, and was condemned to death. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to earth to become a man, sinless and without fault, to die in our place for us so that we can be reconciled to God the Father, so that we could know God. He resurrected so that we can share in his eternal life, given to us, and that we can now be a part of his will and kingdom. This is why, as believers, we can press on, and not only that, but he has gifted us with the Holy Spirit to deal with the how. So how can we follow him, and how can we abide in him? And when Jesus returns, he will set things straight as they were intended to be. As believers, we share in the hope that we will be with Christ then to take part of his glory. So as I continue to reflect on my relationship with Christ, I realize that I agreed with why we ought to follow him and why we ought to abide in him. But how? How can I follow him? And it led me to look at Colossians chapter 3. So maybe we can turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you, richly as you teach and admonish one another, with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we have now been raised with Christ, given a new life, and Paul reminds us here to set our hearts on things above, where Christ is, to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. And verse 3, it says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." So I mentioned earlier about hiding and how we're good at hiding, but what does Paul mean here when he says, "Our life is now hidden with Christ in God"? What does it mean that our life is now hidden? Paul speaks of this in the past tense, that this is already done. This speaks of our security in Christ, that we had died as he died on that cross, and now our life is concealed safely with Christ, that our eternal life is now with God, and nothing can take that away from us. Our salvation is secure, and we have been redeemed. I know on this past Friday, we went over Romans chapter 5, and Paul there, he spoke of peace, of I guess all the terms that we're familiar with, peace, faith, joy, and love, and the glory of God. And we shared about what it means what is this glory of God? And I truly believe that that the glory of God is something that we can rejoice in now, because we already have it. That not in the physical sense and not in the full manifestation of His glory, but we know where we will be. And that gives us a hope. And that gives us strength and the courage that we can continue to live on. And that we don't need to run away from God. And that we don't need to hide. But when we do know where we are and where our future is, we know that our life is secure. We know that our position is no longer as it was in the past, where we used to walk in the ways that Paul mentioned here in Colossians. That we have been redeemed, and that we can follow Him, and that we can abide in Him, and nobody can take that away from us. And that's what gives us not just the why, but how. It gives us the strength to follow Christ. And Paul continued not just by talking about our old life, but talking about the things that we used to do in the past, but he tells us to clothe ourselves. He tells us to clothe ourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. And to bear with each other and to forgive one another if any of you has grievance against somebody. And he reminds us to forgive as the Lord forgave us. I don't know what it is that each of you are hiding from. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows everything about us. And if we can just realize just how absurd it is for us to think that we can hide from Him, then at least that is the first step that we can take. Where can we go from His Spirit? Where can we flee from His presence? Shall we continue to run away? Shall we continue to hide from God? I think we ought to come to Christ and ask Him for forgiveness for our stubbornness and hardening of our hearts towards Him. His love is so great that if we could completely understand how great it is, we would realize how absurd it is to want to stay away from Him. We need to stop focusing on the temporal things and really have the right view of things that are eternal and align our lives so that we can have the strength to carry on. If we keep focusing on what we want to have in this life, what we want to achieve, what we want to accomplish, then we won't get anywhere. We need to put to death completely whatever belongs to our earthly nature. And we need to clothe ourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's not become weary of doing good, even though we may not see the fruits of our labor, because the harvest is the Lord's. I'm just going to end by sharing God's comfort to His people in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. We ask that you would humble our hearts. Lord, help to soften our hardened hearts, Lord. Lord, we know just how good you are to us. We know in our head, Lord, what you have done. Lord, that you have given us eternal life, that you have saved us, you have redeemed us. But Lord, help us to know it in our hearts. Lord, that when we do remember these things, Lord, that we would respond in the right way. Lord, that we would not just be content or complacent with our mediocrity. Lord, we don't want to spend time hiding from you, Lord. We don't want to spend energy to hide from you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if today we do not sense that you are clothing us in or hemming us in, Lord, that, Lord, that we would indeed feel your closeness, that your presence would be with us, Lord, that when we are faced with temptation, when we are faced with situations that we find negative, Lord, that we would quickly come to you, Lord, that we would come to you for strength, Lord, that we would not grow weary of doing good, Lord, that we would realize that the harvest is not ours, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be part of your kingdom, be part of your will, Lord. And we just want to come and thank you and praise you for what you have done thus far in our lives, Lord. And pray, Lord, that today you would remind us, Lord, that you haven't stopped working in each one of us, Lord, that you continue to work in us. You continue to shape and mold us into the greater likeness of you, Lord. We thank you and we just put our trust in you. Praise in your most precious name.